I don't pick and choose the verses. The Lord directs me into a certain book out of His Bible, and we just go straight down the line. So that means if this word for you is for you this Sunday, it wasn't because Pastor knows your business. I don't have time to investigate every single saint in this church. I got four, almost five children. Trust me. Okay, I love y'all, but it ain't like that. Okay, so the verse that we land on, if it just happens to hit you, don't get mad at me. I did not write it. It's just on schedule, and you came to church. Bless your hearts. That's the disclaimer. All right. Acts 41 and 42. Here we go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen? And moving on. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm only going to take that much this morning. Amen? Well, let's speak to you. We're in a series now. I didn't know it until last Sunday. True Church Part 2. All right? Real simple. We're going to keep this simple. I don't know if there's going to be 7 or 8 of them. We'll see. Now, we're going to take this scripture a little bit at a time. Amen? I'm not trying to slow it down too much, but I think it's important that we park here in this portion of scripture for a little while. I see at least 4 components there. Amen? Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. This is the early church model. This is the church that the Holy Spirit himself started. All right, and here in the 42nd verse, I'm probably not going to be able to preach through all of these 4 points. I'm going to try to get two done today. Amen. And then we'll see what happens, and should the Lord say the same on next Sunday. Let's back up for a minute. Go back to the 41st verse right quick again. And let's see try to put ourselves in the place of the early saints at Pentecost. And look at what I believe was the fire in their heart. The thing that made them such a model to follow after. Amen. This is what the Holy Spirit started. And boom, the church has started. And we haven't seen anything like this. This is amazing what happened here. The Holy Spirit really, really put on a display to say, this is how we do church. Okay? Follow this model. 41st verse says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, anytime you get 3,000 of anything at one time, you could be happy about that, or you could be very concerned about that. Especially if you're talking about 3,000 people. Amen. This could be a good thing, or it could be a potentially, it could be a headache. Amen. Especially if the kind of folks you get are folks that are miserable and don't know how to get along with each other. That's a mess. Amen? That's a huge problem. But the Bible tells us that they were happy about something. They gladly received his word. Amen? They all came through the same gate. They all entered through the same door. Every one of them was happy about one principal thing. What's that? Even though they were responsible for killing Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, God gave them a chance to repent, and they were forgiven not only of that sin, but every single sin from the time they were born to the time they died. That was the content. That was the door that they entered in into as far as starting the church. If you got a deal like that, how happy would you be? If God decided to take everything, all your stuff that's on the list, and completely wipe it out. Yes, even that. And say, it's gone. I forgive you. It's over. Don't bring it up again. If you got a deal like that, what would you do for the God who decided to forgive you for everything? What exchange would you make? How faithful would you be? So at Pentecost, in exchange for this great salvation that they had received, that everyone knew they did not deserve, this is how the early church responded. Are you watching? Now give me verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The key phrase that I want everyone to pay attention to this morning is they continued steadfastly. Everybody say steadfastly. That statement shows the attitude that's behind all the things that the early saints did. When the Holy Spirit started the church, this was pretty much the motivator of what they did. This puts an attitude on top of everything that they did. This is how they worked in the church, how they served in the church. They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly means to be resolute, dutiful, firm, unwavering, loyal, faithful, totally committed, devoted, dedicated, dependable, reliable, steady, true, constant, solid. That's what it means. Don't clap yet. Steadfast in the Greek means to continue all the time in a place to persevere and not faint. Some people woke up. To continue all the time in a place to persevere and not faint. Oh, this is a timely word. So the first thing that we see that they were steadfast in, committed in, totally devoted in, solid in, unwavering in, resolute, devoted to, dedicated to in, was the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let's take that apart. They trusted and applied and constantly continued steadfastly in the teaching that came from Peter and the rest of the apostles. Now, this is key. What you have to realize here, saints, is there was no Bible at this time. So the benefit that we have in just looking at our Bible to check out Pastor Hawkins was not there. Okay? All they had was the word that came from the mouths of men who were supernaturally anointed to remember every single thing that Jesus ever said. So, be careful when you call yourself an apostle. These are the real apostles. Not just these people that title themselves as apostles after they get so many members or... Okay? There's a huge difference between Jesus calling you an apostle and you calling yourself one. Alright? So let me show you this in scripture. Jesus is getting ready to leave, but he gives the disciples a command, and then he makes a promise. Matthew 28:20. We know this verse, but let's look at it a little closely in this context. 20th verse says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. Where they come from? That I have given you. Oh. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, yes, he's talking about the body of Christ as a whole, but he's speaking specifically to the apostles and saying that I'm going to be with you, even to the ends of the age. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. When you speak for me, I'm right there. Okay? Jesus said, I want you to teach the people all the commands that came from me. And I'll be with you every step of the way while you're doing it. So Jesus is saying, I am building my church, and the church is really built on everything that I said. Think about it. In its simplicity, that's really what's happening. Okay? Ephesians 2:20-22 says this. And the church, basically, are built upon the foundation of who? The apostles and prophets. What do these two groups of people have in common? They both heard from God, what needed to be said to his creation, to his people. Amen? The apostles, specifically, heard from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? So in context, we are being sustained by, maintained by, and restrained by everything that Jesus has said. Amen? Very true, Brenda? All right. In John 14:26, Jesus tells the disciples that he's getting ready to go again. And he says, in the 26th verse says this, but the Comforter, who is the Comforter? Which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you some of the things? No. All things. And he will bring some of the things? No. All things to what? Your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus is the Word. The apostles spent 3.5 years with the Word. Are you getting that? Before Jesus left, here he told them everything that the apostles needed to tell us. Clear? God made sure that we would have everything we'd ever need to know in order for us to become the men and women of God that he had always intended us to be. The process of transformation into glorification has a manual. And the apostles knew that manual and they told it to us. I'm being redundant because I want you to understand something here. Now the disciples spoke the word, but they didn't just speak it and then leave. They didn't just recite the word and then cut out. Okay? No, they were gifted to make disciples of the people that gladly receive the word. Amen? Are you following me? Say amen. Ephesians 4:11-12 says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who are they? The apostles. The prophets. The evangelists. The pastors. The teachers. Amen? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Amen? Back to Acts, 2nd chapter again, verse 41. Got it? Very good. Then they that gladly received his word. Who's his? Well, careful. The word originated with Jesus Christ, but it came out of the gift that Jesus Christ chose for the benefit of the church. Which at that time, in Acts, the 2nd chapter, happened to be the sermon of Peter. Are you following the line now? Amen? So yes, it originated with Jesus Christ, of course, because he would have nothing to say if he never heard it from Jesus.
Right.
But the person that is speaking, when they said they received his word, they're not talking about Jesus Christ himself. They're talking about the gift, the apostle, the sermon that came out of Peter. Amen? All right. 2 Peter 3:2 says this. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through who? Your apostles. Are you following this? 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 says this. Now I praise you, brethren, Paul says, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as who? Paul. I, Paul, have delivered them unto you. Understand that? Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says this. If you proclaim or if you claim to be some kind of prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I am saying, this is what Paul is saying to the church, that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. I know you came in with your old bishop's doctrine. However, he's saying be careful. He's saying I was with Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ. I know what he said. Okay? That's the apostle. They're in a higher line, people. Okay? Are we clear? I'm just setting it up. So here's the point. The Holy Spirit reminds his chosen vessels of what God said. Then those chosen vessels tell the church, the true church, what they said. And the true church will steadfastly continue in the doctrine, the teaching, the instruction that comes from the gifted men of God that are given to the church. Are we clear? Very simple, right? All right. Now, some people are not in their word at all. The Holy Spirit reminded the apostles of what Jesus said. So that means, likewise, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus said. But if you don't read your word or listen to the word, then how can you be reminded of something you've never heard? How can you face your week without the word? Huh? No word, no light. No light, you can't see. No sight, no direction for your life. No word in you, the Holy Spirit has nothing to say to you. Whoa! How can he remind you of something that you refuse to read or listen to? I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know where I'm going. Of course you don't. There's no lights on. And the Holy Spirit is not, I have nothing to say to you getting that word. I remind you of the truth, but you're not in the word, so hey. Alright? That we have a part to play in this, people. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must remain faithful, continue steadfastly, committed, devoted to what? To the things you have been taught. And you know they are true. Why? Because we can trace these words all the way back, people. The Bible is no joke. If you just sit there and go through it, you'll be like, this is all true. This is what Jesus actually said. We have God's word. Amen? Then watch this. This is the second part here. You know that things are true, and you must remain faithful to those things which you've been taught. But then the B part says this. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. So you mean to say, Pastor, that continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the church has a lot to do with whether or not I can really trust the person that's teaching it. If you get the feeling that pastor is not quite living up to what he's preaching, then you need to run for your life. Me or anybody else's church. That's the real deal. This is serious, y'all. Amen? But how can you know the pastor if you only see him on TV? He doesn't even know you are attending his church. You don't really know anything about him. Then we are shocked when we find out that after we brought 12 CDs from him, and all that good preaching he does, that Pastor so-and-so has been sleeping with the whole state. The whole city, stealing money from the church, and won't use any of the money to pay for the 12 kids he had in 1 year. You can't check out his wife. You can't check out his wife. You don't know how he treats his children. You don't know how he treats his members. But you listen to everything he says. Oh boy. You walk in some folks' house, and they on the bookshelf, just video cassettes and CDs. And, yeah, I just love it, but you don't know nothing about that man. Mm-mm. Yep. Let me say that there are some really good teaching out there. Yes, there is. Yeah. But your TV preacher was never meant to replace the word that comes from the home pastor. That's not God's design. That teaching is not meant to replace your home church. I will battle anybody in scripture on that. That preaching is not meant to take the place of your home church. Some folks would rather connect with some pastor's message than to actually have to connect with a real pastor. Some folks prefer a pastor that you could only see on TV from a distance. Because they don't really want anybody to get a good look at them. Some folks don't like for you to get too close, because if you get close, you can start checking for fruit. And if you don't see fruit... I'm going to stay way back here behind the screen. You don't know what I'm doing. Good message. I love it. Glory. Having a local pastor and a local church will place you in a position where whatever you learn from his teaching is something that you also must put into practice in your church. And when it comes to continuing steadfastly in the doctrine, the church will not just take your word for it. We get to see you and watch you. Yeah, yeah. We get to see how much you are actually continually steadfastly in what is being taught. Now, some folks attend the local church, even join the local church, but are not really connected to their church. They don't really know the people, and the people don't really know them. Verse 42 says, second part, this is as far as we'll get today, I think. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That should be read this way. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they continue steadfastly in fellowship. It's koinonia. You've heard this word before. Let's go a little deeper. Koinonia is joint participation, joint contribution, intercourse, intimacy within a community, active involvement, which proves that you're really in fellowship. Let's start taking this apart at just a basic level. How can I have a real connection with you if I hardly ever see you? Remember, to be steadfast is to be firm, unwavering, loyal, faithful, committed, devoted, etc., dedicated, constant, solid. To continue all the time, to persevere in a place. I don't go by what I feel, I push past what I feel. I don't faint. Amen? Acts 5 and 12 says this, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And then here's the B part. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple. They met every Sunday. Uh-oh.
in the area known as Solomon's Colony. It's quiet up in here.
You can stay at home by yourself and eat your Bible page by page. But if you never come and feast along with your brothers and sisters in a local church family, then guess what? You're not really growing. Hebrews 10:25 says this. Ooh, it's uncomfortable here. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. But encourage one another. But some people neglect it. Listen, people, you're not in a fight. You're in a war. Nobody wins a war by themselves. In order to win a war, you need an army. Okay? The enemy is like a predatory lion. He's just waiting for somebody who's sitting off by themselves with their TV pastor and has no clue that you've joined his church and been there for 6 months. When you get in trouble, you can't call that pastor. You can't call his members. They don't know you. Now, it says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You mean to tell me that we are aware that Jesus is one day coming back? And Jesus could come back on a Sunday. And there's a good chance that you might be at the game or the concert. Pastor, I won't be here next Sunday. You understand. What's happening, sweet? Maeve is coming. Frankie! Now, when you buy tickets to the game or to the concert, you have to show up on time. Nobody comes to the game for the last quarter. Nobody comes to hear somebody sing the last note. All right, that was good. We can go now. How is it that folks show up to church in just enough time to hear the preacher preach their word, but they don't feel the need to worship or sing to the Lord with their brothers and sisters? Oh yeah, we can all stand up on that. It's hot up in here, boy. Some people just come for the word, but don't ever feel the need to tell God thank you. Let me give you an example. My wife has a problem. When you show up to the dinner table late, you're saying that you don't want to be with everybody else. And it shows that you have a cavalier attitude towards everything that she's doing in that kitchen for you. Come on, ladies understand that. Don't you, I called you down here 20 minutes ago. Where you been? That's why your chicken is a brick. Same thing with God. You come in at whatever time expecting a blessing from the word of God, but won't show up on time to tell God thank you with your church family. Oh, when we worship together before the word comes in, we are telling God thank you for my blessing in advance. I need a word. I need a word. I ain't gonna say thank you for it. Isn't that interesting? Somebody hand you a plate and you'd be like, thanks. But you take it and sit down, don't say nothing. Interesting. Alright. To neglect, forsake. People
sometimes come to church once or twice a month. Don't see you for 2 months, and when you come back, you're missing again. I'm just going to throw it out there. That's not what we call continuing steadfastness. You're not really in fellowship if you're doing that. Okay? That's not being firm, consistent, dedicated, committed. Amen? If I'm a part-time father, I am really neglecting my children. If I'm not a steadfast parent in parenting my kids, then I'm really deserting my children. Yeah, now we understand. Uh-huh. A good father would never say, I'm sort of kind of there for my kids. Oh. People might think that if you're a part-time father, that you may not really love your children. Mm. Because a good father does not neglect his children some of the time, or, you know, most of the time. That's not the MO of a good father. That's not what you would consider to be a good father, where you just, you know, I'm just not consistent. That's not good parenting. Amen? This is what the church is about, people. God never intended for his family to act like they're only concerned about themselves. There are needs here in your church. Fellowship is sharing your life, giving to one another, praying for one another, as we'll talk about next week. Forgiving one another. Amen. Fellowship, watch this, people, is even every now and then rebuking one another. Now, brother so-and-so, pastor just told you to cut that out. You just preached on it. You cut that out. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come beside you and help you out because I'm connected to you. And if I don't see you, no connection. No real relationship. Amen? It's proving one another, exhorting one another. It's encouraging one another. Don't neglect coming together, the meeting that we have on Sunday, but encourage one another, because you can't encourage me constantly if I don't see you. It's just that simple. This is not a gray area. Amen? We're going to see in a minute. The early church was steadfastly present. Of course they were. They were forgiven of everything. What do I got to do? If I know me, I know what I did, I know what I've been doing, I know. You're going to wipe all that out? What you want me to do? I'll take that deal. You mean to tell me I don't go to hell forever for even that stuff? Okay. I'll be here. How can you say that you love your church when you neglect your church? How can you say you love your brothers and sisters when you neglect your brothers and sisters? I know some of you are looking for ways to get around this, but that's okay. We're going to keep going. The truth is you really can't. And the New Testament tells us this, that our love will always include action. Okay? I ran out of scriptures, so I couldn't do it all. I mean, it was this long. Talking about how we actually show love. And prove love. Amen? Because what you're talking about is if I can just be, you know, connected but never really see you in my own mind. And not by any scripture that backs that up. That I may not really love my church. Nice and quiet. Let's go on a little love class for a minute. Okay? 1 John 3:10. Might want to mark this down. 1 John 3:10. So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Just in case you want to know who's really up in here. Watch this. Anyone who does not live righteously. Don't live the doctrine of God. Amen. That's the first part. You live janky and you're sinning all the time and you're just doing all kinds of stuff you ain't supposed to be doing. you know, just sin fest on the way to church. That means you are the devil. Okay? Just in case you're confused. All right. There's a second part. And anyone who does not love other believers does not belong to God. Wow. Living sinful and not loving. That's why people have a problem with 1 John, because 1 John is dogmatic. He's like, I'm not going to give you a way to wriggle around this. I'm just going to tell you like it is. You live sinful, you don't love God, God's not in you. Okay? You don't have the love of God, you belong to the devil. You have no love for the brothers and sisters in your church, you don't love God, God's not in you, you belong to the devil. Flat out. Flat out. Sermon over, that's half gone. This word love here that's being used means to welcome, to be fond of, to willingly entertain. Oh, that's good. To love dearly, fervently. In other words, it says basically, I just really like being around you. So when you'd rather spend all your time with people of the world, you prove that you are of the devil by the company you prefer. Come on, shout, somebody. Where's the organ? It's true. If I just want to run around with the Hell's Angels all week, more than likely, I don't belong to God. No desire? If you don't want to express love to your fellow believers, your church family, on a consistent basis, people, steadfastly continue, remember? Then you are not a part of the family of God. Verse 11 says this, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This is the commandment. This is the doctrine. This is the instruction that the apostles taught from the beginning. This is what our Bible told us from the beginning. When you continue steadfastly in the doctrine, by a byproduct of that, you will also continue steadfastly in your fellowship, in your love. Oh, you will be consistent. There could also be another problem. That you have a light switch with no power. Because the Holy Spirit's not there. Hard message. Skip down to verse 14. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Wow, John. Skip down to verse 16. Round time. We know what real love is. This is a different slant of love. Watch this. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. So this is under the umbrella, if you will, or the root of main love. This is the branch of love here where it's expressed in a different way. How so? Verse 17 says this. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister, that means it sees somebody in your church, a believer that you are in contact with, and shows no compassion for them, how can God's love, root of love, be in that person? It can't. So if you want to prove that you're saved, look at whether or not you're living holy and look at how you sacrifice for your brothers and sisters who are right here. It's not just the church at large. It's the local assembly. Okay? If you're too busy for the people in your church, then something's wrong. If you're not actively desiring to connect with the people in your church, something's wrong.
If you just check in with us on every other Sunday, something's wrong. Something's not right, people. There should be a desire for the body of Christ. Jesus wants to hang around Jesus. Yeah. Amen. 1 Peter 1:22. Let's back it up. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply, fervently, with all your heart. John 13:35 says this: by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not by your church services, not by your activities or looking holy or memorizing verses. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you have love one to another. 1 Thessalonians really drives it home. 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, he said to the Thessalonians church. For God himself has taught you to love one another. The true church already knows how to love. Why? God is constantly teaching them how. Amen? If you want to be like Jesus, then let's hit John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You want to prove that you know Jesus? Huh? Act like Jesus. If you have that power, you have his desires. You will lay down your life for each other. So, if I claim to be a Christian, but I have no love for my church family. When you check your last year's calendar and there's no track record of you extending yourself to meet with the people or meet the needs of the people in your church, when you prove by what you've already shown and what you've already done or what you have not done that you will not sacrifice your money, your time, your energy, your talent, your skills, and that you are not interested in consistently seeing the people in your church or being with the people in your church, then you do not have the love of God in your heart. Help us, Lord. You are proving that you love yourself more than you love your brothers and sisters. Almost done. If I am not steadfast and consistent, I'm really saying that I can do Christianity all by myself. If I am not connecting with my brothers and sisters in the church that God has planted me in, I don't continue in the doctrine, fighting the pastor over what the word is, and I don't decide to love. I don't actively participate, connect with, co-join with my brothers and sisters in church. Then I'm saying I got this by myself. Me and Jesus, we cool. We don't need none of y'all. Feel him right now. I think I believe church. Okay? I don't need you. That's what you're saying. No. I come in every now and then. Coming every now and then is not a need. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not checking in with you once a year. Checking in with you once a year. You all right, brother so-and-so? All right. Quick. That means I don't need you. I can do this Christianity walk thing all by myself. That's what you're really saying. Saying I don't need the people in my church. Put the bird picture up. Please. Can anybody see that? Anybody over here see that? For years, scientists have been trying to figure out how birds fly great distances. But not only that, why do they always tend, when they're migrating, to fly in what's called the V formation? You've seen this before. This is not a foreign thing, right? You look up the sky and we used to live in San Leandro, they would always be migrating. We're like, where are they going? It's totally in sync. Why are they like that? What are they doing? Why can't they fly just haphazardly? I'll get there when I get there. No. They fly in what's called a V formation. So what they did to figure this out is they put a small monitoring system near the heart of a flock of geese. Amen? To keep track of the bird's energy and the vital signs of the bird. To watch how the bird is. How are you guys pulling this off? I can't walk. I can't run to the lake. You got to fly miles. I mean, this is... How is this possible? What they discovered was whenever the geese flew outside of the V formation, the wind was against them.
Oh, Lord.
And they would enter in what's called a wind draft, where you get tons of resistance. The birds, by the monitors that they put on, they could tell that the bird was getting tired and worn out. But to correct the problem, all the bird had to do was quickly decide to get back information. So by staying in formation, God has made it to where the bird's flight is much easier when they stay in the formation that they're designed to stay in to travel this distance. Somebody needs to get this. But how does this happen? Well, this is what they figured out. This is what they learned. As the bird flaps its wings, each flap of the wing elevates the bird behind it. He lifts me up to thee. Oh, are you getting it? All right, so what happens is to keep one bird from getting tired or falling or quitting and giving up on the journey, all you got to do is get in line. And the more they flap, the more it lifts you up. You stay up. They said that the V formation adds at least 71% travel flying range to every single bird versus if they were to fly by themselves alone. 71% of the battle being shared with your fellow geese. You keep flapping, I get lifted up. I just need to stay in place and I'm going to be all right. Ooh, this is getting easier. This way. Okay. All right. The message to the church is this. When you stay in formation, in the doctrine, when you stay in the truth, you make your journey easier. Saints, okay? When you steadfastly continue, be consistent, connected, dedicated to travel with your brothers and sisters, and be consistent in your love with the church family, you don't have to flap as hard. You're wearing yourself out when you only check in here every now and then. You're not going to get to your destination because you're too tired. You don't have anybody to share your load. Somebody get this. The idea is when you stay together, you are lifted up. You're lifted up. You're cutting my travel energy completely down by 71%. Woo! When you are consistent with your church. Because see, the idea is the moment they step out, the minute that's when it gets hard. That's when they start to feel what's called the resistance wind draft. And the forces are against you. But if I'm behind somebody and I stay in line, then they cut through it. Come on, somebody. Get behind some church mama that's been through a few things. Who can tell you, sweetie pie, don't go that way. I need you to get back and forth. Don't you stay out there by yourself, girl. You don't know what you're doing. Check her out. See how her life ended up. Is she still walking with the Lord? Then, hey, I'm with you, sis. I'm with you, mama. I'm with you, baby. Where you go? All right, I'm right. Hey. Oh, Jamie. Amen. Now here's the kicker, saints. Whoever is flying in the back, because there's so many birds, they have the easiest flight. You understand that? Whoever's flying in the back, they have the easier flight. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it, but when you see a flock of geese flying, what you normally hear is a few of them going, ah! 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 And then it's like a rhythm to it. Ah! Ah! What in the world are y'all doing? Who's making all that noise? The honkers are not in front. The honkers are the ones in the back. So even though they have an easier flight, they're not just kicking back, not doing anything. Scientists believe, because of what they can tell by the heart monitor and how much energy has been expended, that the ones in the back are the encouragers. Keep going. Don't stop flapping. Stay consistent. I'll reach you all the way. I'm going to make it if you keep going. Don't stop. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm behind you all the way. Steadfast. Consistent. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to come to church and not have the saints talk about you? Not have the saints to discourage you and judge you and make you feel horrible. We're not talking about rebuke. I don't like you. I don't like what you're doing. And so I, instead of encouraging you, I'm sitting in the back just taking a free ride, tearing you down. That's not how it's designed. That's not how it's designed, saints. Steadfast. Keep going. You can make it. We're all counting on you. Amen? Amen. One more thing, and I'm done with the birds. With the geese, the flock of geese, there is a leader. But he doesn't always have to be out in front. Watch this. This is crazy. This was my message, okay? So, hey. Wait, come here, Keith. Come here. When the one who's in lead position at the front of the V formation gets tired, what ends up happening is the geese, they're looking at the signals. So they're watching. Yeah. And we're flying. Fly, Keith. That was good. All right. So we're flying. And he's got his eye on me. And what ends up happening? Yes, I'm the leader. And the bulk of the weight and the pressure is on the one that's out in front. But watch how these geese take care of each other. What happens is the one that's out in front doesn't have an ego problem. He's not full of pride. So what he does is every now and then he sends a signal. And by instinct, the other bird moves over to the front where he can get a little bit of rest, and then he keeps going to the back. And then he keeps going to the back. What am I saying? When the geese take care of each other, when they're all together, they instinctively know pastor's getting tired. Minister so-and-so getting tired. I'm not going to wait until you get on the ground like this. I'm going to sit over here. I got you. I'm going to step in. And then what you have is the other geese in the back saying, whoever's in front, we're going to encourage you to. We're going to make you feel like, oh, you can preach, man, I tell you. We needed a word. That was a word from the Lord. You got these people that don't want to hear nobody but their pastor and take their pastor to the grave. That's not how the geese do it. We don't get very far if everybody's got an attitude problem, huh? Where you won't step aside and let somebody else handle it for a minute. Huh? The idea is to get to the destination. It's not about competition. It's not competition. Are you understanding me? The strongest churches don't have one pastor. They got about 15 of them. That's the truth. It's a plurality of elders. That's what we're trying to do here. Set up some people who can step up and just in case. I go, okay, I need a week. Somebody else goes, I got you, pastor. And the rest of the church don't disappear because they don't see the one that they want to hear from. No, because if we get out of formation, we don't make it. It's not about title. It's not about competition. I don't have time to fight with you. We try to get someplace. Okay? We are all going, if we know Jesus Christ, we are all going to the same destination. The question is you going to get there worn out or not? You're going to get there completely beat up and told, whoo, that was the roughest ride ever. Why didn't you just go to church?
Why you keep doing that to yourself? I'm sitting up here. I don't know. You're going to call 1,900 prayer warriors across the country just because you don't want to go to church. That's silly. You're not being lifted. Get behind. Get in line. Get in formation. Get lifted. Oh, it's much easier when I'm actually in formation. Geese don't let their differences cause division and get in the way of unity. This is really important, saints. Notice it's a V formation and not a straight line. In the V formation, every bird has enough space to spread its own wings. And be what God has called them to be without another bird flapping all on top of them. We ain't gonna get nowhere if you beating up on me because I'm just not like you. Okay? Everybody is not like you. Quit expecting everybody to be exactly the same. The church should have enough room for us to spread our wings and be the birds that God has called us to be. What matters most is that we love on each other and we stay in formation. Amen? Amen. Everybody's journey into sanctification is not going to be the same as yours. I'm going to say that again. Everybody's journey in sanctification is not going to be the same as yours. It's a V formation. See, everybody's not in the same line. They're in formation, but everybody's not in the same place. If you just stay in your lane and start getting in the way of somebody else's lane, they might learn on their own a little bit. But if you flap all on top of them, people have left the church just because people can't accept the fact that God might be doing just something a little bit different. The idea is that we stick together. The idea is that we stay consistent. The idea is that we are going in the same direction, being led by the same Holy Spirit. And He already promised the church that we'd get there. He only promised. You hear me, saints? This is the picture of the body of Christ. We are headed to the same place. But the Holy Spirit inside of each of us knows how to make sure that that flight is not too hard. Okay? It ain't going to be easy. But if you're out of formation, you're just really asking for it. If you won't fall in line, if you won't be consistent, you're asking for it. It's rigged in a certain way to where success is guaranteed by you doing what God said. Do not forsake the assembly of the brother. That's what He said. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. God intended for 71% of our journey to be shared with the brothers and sisters that we do our life with. We have the same doctrine. And we should choose the church and not the people of this world to take that journey with us. The people of this world, folks, are not flying in the same direction. Have you ever seen a bird fly backwards? Eventually, they run into stuff because they can't see where they're going. That's not the church. The church, our eyes, I was blind, but now I see. So the idea is if you're going to go on a journey with somebody, they need to be going in the right direction and be able to see where they're going to end up. And then you get information and then we make the ride easier. You understand where I'm coming from, saints? We all take turns lifting each other up. The birds keep rotating as far as edification. That's the key. That's the body of Christ. That way nobody sticks out as a superstar. Superstar churches have problems. I've seen this before. When there's one man or one woman or whatever you want to put up in there, and they decide that they're going to be the end-all, be-all for Jesus Christ, they get worn out, they get tired, and before you know it, the enemy comes in because the flesh is weak. And before you know it, they say, what are you doing, brother? Someone said, how you get over there? I go, nobody's helping me. And some people have an attitude problem. They want to do it all so they can glorify themselves. That's an issue. That's a problem there. You're not seeing the big picture. You're not seeing the big picture. We're all headed to the same place. Amen? We are consistent and steadfast in the doctrine. And in our love for each other, we lift each other up.
There is strength in numbers. We all get in the word together. We push the word underneath each other's wings and lift each other together. Okay? This way you don't wear out. You will wear out by yourself. You're not designed to fly alone. Listen to me, saints. So when you skip church, you're skipping formation. The doctrine from the apostles must be constantly learned. There's a rhythm to this thing, saints. Okay? It must be constantly learned in an atmosphere full of loving church people. Okay? All right? And that atmosphere and that consistency will, by the formation, form you, shape you, right into the place where God wants you to be. To maximize on your journey. You understand this, people? If you don't do this and you don't fly together, you will wear out.
Amen.
All right? When you fly too, when you get tired and you fly too low to the ground, guess what happens? You're close to predators. Somebody got it. The enemy is looking for the closest bird to shoot down. If you're too high up, he has a harder time. Okay? The idea is not for you to be down there with the trees where somebody can just be like, pop. No. You're not being lifted. You got to stay together. Amen? All right. We stay in formation. Now, who's smarter? The creature with the bird brains? Or the church that thinks they know everything? And don't think they need anybody. We call them stupid, but that don't look stupid to me. That looks consistent. That looks organized, purposeful, and extremely effective. Amen? The idea is that we stay in line. You don't fall out of the doctrine. And you stop falling out with each other. We fan the love. We stay consistent with each other. Amen? Last thing. Galatians 6 and 10. Just want to sum this up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Especially those in the family of faith. You see that? That's scripture, y'all. You're not extending yourself to your brothers and sisters. You're not even inquiring. Something's wrong. Yeah. I haven't seen you in two. How are you doing, sweetie? What's going on? I need to know. I desire to know. Yeah. Do you desire to know? Do you care? Is this just something you sit in and sit at and listen to me for weeks on and weeks and never grow and never exercise what you're hearing and actually apply on your brothers and sisters? Amen? John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, there it is again, then ye are my disciples indeed. Steadfast in doctrine. Consistent. Steadfast in love. Consistent. The early church was consistent. Amen? And this is why. If you're about to go to jail, and you know you did it, and you're about to be sentenced to life in prison, and in through the door comes a man dressed all in white. He's glowing. He's glorified. He walks up to the judge. What's the fine? What's the fine? Oh, this one's going to be expensive. You're talking about Pastor Hawkins here. That's a lot of dough. That's a lot of sin. He done messed up big time. What's the fine? Here's the fine. It's going to cost you your life. Jesus says, paid for. Mm-hmm. Then he turns to you and says, "You gonna see you at church Sunday? You gonna call that brother and sister? You gonna do life with your church? You gonna actually grow to look like me through the doctrine? Are you gonna spend time with people that look like me in your family? Or do you think you can do this alone?" Here's the catch, people. You couldn't even save your own neck in court. That was the wake-up call right there. Paid for your sins. Take this very seriously. Not out of guilt. Out of love and appreciation for what he's done for me. So then I say to you, what you need me to do?